वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय तन्नः प्रभो त्वं कुकले वरार्पितं त्वं माययाहं ममतां अधोक्षज भिन्द्यामा येनाशु वयं सुदुर्भिदं विदेहि योगं फैनः स्वभावम् इति तन्नः प्रबोधं कुकले वरार्पितम् तन्माययाहं ममथम् अधोक्षज भिन्द्यामयेनाशु वयं सुदुर्भिनम् विदेहि योगं त्वेन स्वभावमिति तन्नः प्रबोधं कुकले वरार्पितम् तन्माययाहं ममथम् अधोक्षज भिन्द्यां येनाशु वयं सुधुर्भिदम् विदेहि योगं त्वेन स्वभावमिति तन्नः प्रबोधं कुकले वरार्पितम् तन्माययाहं ममथम् अधोक्षज भिन्द्यामयेनाशु वयं सुधुर्भिदम् विदेहि योगं त्वेन स्वभावमिति Therefore, Nah, our Prabho, O my Lord, Tvam, you, Kukale Vara Arpitam, invested in this bad body, full of stool and urine. Tat Mayaya, by your illusory energy, aham mamatam, the conception of I and my, adhoksaja, O transcendence, vindyama, may give up, yena, by which, Ashu, very soon, Rayam, we, Sudurvidam, which is very difficult to give up. Videhi, please give. Yogam, the mystic process. Twayi, unto you. Naha, our svabhavam, which is symptomized by a steady mind. Iti, thus. Translation. Therefore, O Lord, O Transcendence, kindly help us by giving us the power to execute bhakti yoga so that we can control our restless minds and fix them upon you. We are all infected by your illusory energy. Therefore, we are very attached to the body, which is full of stool and urine, and to anything related with the body. Except for devotional service, there is no way to give up this attachment. Therefore, kindly bestow upon us this benediction. Purport. The Lord advises in Bhagavad Gita, Man manabhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. The perfect yoga system consists of always thinking of Krishna, always engaging in devotional service, always worshipping Krishna, and always offering obeisances unto Him. Unless we practice the yoga system, our illusory attachment for this bad body, which is full of stool and urine, is impossible to give up. The perfection of yoga consists of giving up attachment to this for this body and bodily relationships, and transferring that attachment to Krishna. We are very attached to material enjoyment, but when we transfer that same attachment to Krishna, we traverse the path of liberation. One has to practice this yoga system and none other. So here Narad Muni, who is one of our acharyas, is very strongly making the point that this devotional process is the only process to get out of this material engagement. Nothing else. There is not another process available that will get one out of the material world. One may try different things, but one will never be successful. So here, yoga is meant for attaining the Supreme Lord. One can use yoga for many things, but its actual purpose is obtaining the Supreme Lord. Just like somebody has some money, they want to put it in the bank. But if on the way to the bank, then they see other things, some shops or something to do, then they may go and spend their money there. But their purpose actually was to get it in the bank. They didn't make it. So the same way as when we are performing the devotional activities, then we will be performing our duties, as Narad Muni described before, that in his Pancharatra, he says one should practice the devotional process, the Pancharatric Vidhi, and that includes the Varnashram Dharma. And when these are all practiced, this is called devotional service. For the soul who is not conditioned, then devotional service doesn't need to include the Pancharatra and Varnashram, because their Swabhavam is already the mind is steady, because there's no material desire. But for the conditioned living entity, the mind is not steady. The mind has many desires. So therefore, these desires are engaged by the system of Pancharatra and Varnashram. This is very clearly stated in these verses. And here, so when we say devotional service, we mean we include how much you have to learn, at what stage we're at. Just like we say someone should learn, a child should learn mathematics, that means they will start at whatever position they're at and continue. They won't start lower than that, they will not start higher than that. The child has done 5 years of their mathematics, then when the teacher, you know, when it's said yes, they should study more mathematics, they will start at the sixth year. They will not start at the first. Someone who's very new, they will start at the first year. Someone who's very advanced may start at the 10th, the 12th, or the graduate level. So when we say devotional service, this means where we are at today, we start from there and engage that in the Lord's service. So these terminologies of Varnashram, Pancharatra, Sadhana Bhakti, prescribed duties, they are not different. They mean the same thing. They just refer to different aspects so that in our study we can understand them. When you begin study of something, you break it down into small parts, like you take a car. Then you'll discuss the engine, you'll discuss all the, you know, and then all the things that make it work to drive the wheels. Then you discuss the steering, you can discuss all the electronics, or you can discuss the interior, or its safety features. So many things you can discuss. So for someone who does not know vehicles, you have to break it down into all these components so that you can understand it. So now only an idiot will think that if I have an engine, I have a car. So he goes out and buys himself a nice engine, sits it on the bench, then pulls up a chair next to it and thinks he's going to travel all over the place with his engine on the bench. This is a fool. So when you take one part and you think that's the total, then you must be a fool. At the same time, we get the other side, where someone thinks, oh, we practice devotional service, we don't bother with all this Pancharatra and Varnashram. That's like the fool who thinks, I don't need an engine in my car, I just have a shell of the body, I sit down and turn the wheel, and just like the kids do, I make some sound, vroom, 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 and then I travel all over the place. So both are fools. So someone who understands the parts and understands how they're part of the total, that is knowledge. That is education. That is understanding. So devotional service includes all these, because we have a conditioned nature. And that conditioned nature must be engaged. So depending upon the degree of our conditioning, then we situate ourselves. And whatever we do it for the Lord. Then it becomes perfect. In the previous verse, Narottam Das Thakur is described, one must become free of attachment. This attachment is what is keeping us in this material world. And with this attachment, then comes ego, a false identity. So between this false identity and our attached material attachment, we are very well rooted in the material world. And we have, Krishna has given us a great variety of identities we can take. Right? We have 8,400,000 just in species of life, and then within one species, one can have so many identities. I'm the, you know, most powerful or most intelligent or, you know, most something. We're always the most something. Even if we're the most terrible and useless, we're most. We're still proud of the fact. Someone was explaining the other day that sometimes someone gets so depressed, they think I'm so useless, they think I will kill myself. Right? But this means they are so proud that they think they have the power and the ability that they can actually do it. So they're quite confident about their abilities, that they can hang themselves or shoot themselves or something. Right? They're quite proud of this. And if we study some of the histories of this, we see some people can't even do that. We read the other day of some person, he was very frustrated, and he thought, this is it. So he decided he wasn't just going to rely on one system of ending his life. He worked out a very complex system. He went to a cliff, tied a rope around his neck, took some poison, and had a gun that when he would jump off, he would shoot himself in the head. So he figured, I am very intelligent, very qualified to kill myself, so I've made this arrangement. So he did everything, he jumped, and then when he shot himself, as the rope jerked, he shot the rope, which cut the rope. right? And then he fell into the ocean. When he fell into the ocean, the force of hitting the cold water, then he vomited up the poison. And then after this, then some fishermen saw him and went and fished him out, and he was still alive. Like that. So it's, one thinks one is very intelligent, but one shouldn't be so proud of one's abilities, right? One should be humble, right? So being a Tyson, or just being depressed is just another aspect of ego. It's just the other side. And we're depressed because we're not doing so great. I'm supposed to be doing great. I'm supposed to be doing wonderful. Everyone's supposed to be recognizing me. Somehow or another, it's not working. So the depression is the other side of that. So we have to be very, very careful that we don't fall prey to this depression. One can feel useless, but that doesn't mean one gives up hope. Because one knows by this verse here that devotional service is the hope. And only by devotional service can we be freed. So we continue. Nothing material will give us anything. So now, in looking at this, Narad Muni is mentioning we transfer this attachment from the material to the spiritual. So this is very essential. This attachment means the desire to enjoy, the desire to control. In other words, activities. These activities are going to be performed. The living entity is active. So these material activities are coming out of passion, because we want to enjoy. And we have an ego, I and mine. And from that we engage the intelligence, which is also from the mode of passion. It is manifest from the mode of passion. Ignorance, the ego is manifest from ignorance. So this passion and ignorance, or the false material identity, along with the desire to enjoy, then this passion and ignorance keeps us in the material world. So only when we come to the platform of pure goodness, where we fix the mind on the Lord, because the mind is manifest out of the mode of goodness. So when it's freed from material intelligence and material ego, then it becomes steady and fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord. Then, at that point, the mind becomes our best friend. So this is what we are trying for. We have to be very careful to give up these things. This attachment must be given up. And this ego, it is, we identify as something else other than Krishna's servant. Right? That creates fear. So the root of our material existence is fear and attachment. Where we're fearful of our relationship with Krishna, because Krishna is God and the enjoyer and I'm not. And I want to enjoy. Then when we come in contact with the material nature, we become attached to it. So these two must go. This means the ego must change and the intelligence must change. And when these two change, then the mind can be peaceful. Peace means no material desire. So this can only be attained by these systems of devotional service. Devotional service and its sub-branches of the Pancharatra and the Varnashram. Now what do these do for us? We see they give us an identity. But an identity in connection with Krishna. This is the essential point. Because if we become attached to Varnashram, or attached to Pancharatra, not in connection to Krishna, then this is also useless. Okay, now you are bound by a gold chain instead of an iron one. But it's still useless. So one must have an identity, as servant of Krishna, and one must see that the material body and mind, or subtle body, also has an identity. It's not us, but it has one. We're foolish if we don't recognize that. If we have a very strong body, we would be very foolish to think, oh, I'm very weak. Or if we are very weak, we would be very foolish to think we are very strong. So we know we're not the body. We know we're not the body. But we know that the body has an ability. The subtle body has an ability. So seeing that, we identify what that is. And we engage that in the Lord's service. So then we're not fooled. We know, okay, I'm weak. I don't go out and, you know, decide I'm going to move large rocks with my bare hands. Right? But if we are the, you know, Kim Purushas that are describing all these things, we're Vanaras. They're very strong. They're the ones that did go out, take the tops off of mountains and carry them and throw them into the ocean. So that's what they should do. They just sat around, there'd be no service. It would be foolish. So even though we don't identify with it, we know this is what it is, and we engage it according to the prescribed nature, the prescribed duties. And the central identity is, I am a servant of Krishna. Then it all becomes very nice, very easy. Then there's no problem. What does it matter? We just engage ourselves nicely in the system of devotional activities, which includes the whole system of Pancharatra, which means deity worship on our sadhana, and the Varnashram. We engage in our duties for the Lord's mission. Then everything becomes very nice. So Prabhupada says here, when we are very attached to material enjoyment, so we're not trying to get rid of the attachment here for attachment as a principle. We're trying to get rid of attachment to the material nature. That is what we're trying to get rid of. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur or Bhaktivinod Thakur will mention, it doesn't matter if one's in the house or one's in the forest. Because you're trying to give up attachment. The whole process of Varnashram is to give up attachment. You can give it up as a brahmachari, fine. Then you've done it. If you haven't, then you give it up as a grihastha. In either case, the point is you give it up. So whether you're living in the house with the family without attachment, or you're living without a family without attachment, that is what we're looking for. And then that attachment is transferred to Krishna. That's what we want. This is the direction that we are being given by the acharyas. That attachment must be given up for material things and brought to Krishna. Therefore, we engage our material attachments in Krishna's service. Then they become Krishna's, they're no longer ours. Then we can give up our attachment, though we still perform the duties. So other than this, yoga system, Prabhupada points out, there is no other system. One has to practice this and none other. Means in this completeness. He doesn't mean perform Ashtanga yoga, or any other system where it takes part of it. It means we take the whole process. Then it becomes very nice. Any questions or comments? Yes, Mati. On that, yeah. So Mataji brought up the point that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, practice of Varnashram means Nivritti Marg. So Nivritti means that one is acting without attachment. That is the point of Nivritti. So now we have the activity of acting, and we have the mentality of acting. And there's a goal we're trying to get to. So our goal is trying to not be attached to material nature and be attached to Krishna. We also must understand pravritti. See, these nivritti and pravritti, they have their primary meaning, but they also have their secondary meaning for the materialists. So as devotees, we should be very careful that we take their primary meaning. Right? The nivritti means the path of detachment. And pravritti means detachment from the material nature and attachment to Krishna. And the pravritti means the path of engaging activities of attachment in the Lord's service according to the prescribed duties. So pravritti means following the laws of God. And nivritti means following those laws but within the realm of detachment. This is your prime meaning. Secondary meaning that pravritti means enjoyment. That I follow the path of pravritti means I follow God's laws but to enjoy my senses. While the real meaning of pravritti is I follow the laws of God to become detached and to please God. Though I am situated within the atmosphere of attachment, but I do it without attachment. And nivritti, the secondary meaning, would be just externally one is detached. One has nothing. One lives under a tree. One walks around with no clothes on. But within one's heart, one is very attached. One thinks, I am God. I am very wonderful, special. Everyone should notice me. So this is not actual nivritti. So we have to be very careful that we don't mix these around, because they have totally different applications and meaning. Therefore, in the mundane varnashram, which is pravritti by nature, those who follow pravritti within that means the grihastha life, they're totally into sense enjoyment, they're vishayis. And those who follow the singing path of renunciation, they just want to be God. I couldn't make it as a small time enjoyer, so now I'm going to become the biggest enjoyer, God. So that's all pravritti. Means following God's laws for one's own purposes of karma and jnana. And then the actual platform of varnashram, which is nivritti by nature, means that whoever is in it, whether they're situated in pravritti in grihastha life, or in nivritti in brahmacharya vanaprastha or sannyas, their purpose is nivritti. To engage whatever they have, all these duties in Krishna's service, without attachment. I'm not attached to my renunciation, and I'm not attached to my facilities. Prabhupada points out the last snare of Maya, the most dangerous thing, is attachment to renunciation. You think I'm so renounced. But one doesn't realize how attached one is. So one falls prey to Maya because of ego. So one must be very, very careful. Right? One must be very, very careful how this works. So this is the difference. Now, to understand this, we also have to understand the devotional process. So that means if we are acting on an advanced platform, or we are desirous to obtain an advanced platform or an advanced goal of pleasing Krishna, then the platform that we are on becomes surcharged with that same quality. It may be small. If we have the desire for pure devotional service, even though we're not on the platform of pure unalloyed devotional service, the service we render is still called pure devotional service. Though it may be very in the beginning stages, but it's accepted as pure devotional service because the motive is pure. The goal is pure. The attempt is pure. Though we may ourselves still have so many anarthas in the heart. Right? Just like the child may do something. But because the mood is pure, even though it is not very well or expertly done, anyone who's gentle accepts that as something very nice. So the advanced devotees in the Lord accept that whatever we try, if it's for the purpose of pure devotional service, under the direction of the proper authorities, we have the understanding that I am Krishna's servant. And we make our endeavor to whatever we do, we try to do it for Krishna without attachment. Even though we may be attached, but we know intellectually, yes, I am not attached. I mean, I shouldn't be attached. It's accepted as pure devotional service. That is why the intelligence is here. Devotional service is also called buddhi yoga. Means when we're doing it because we know we should do it, even though we still have attachment, material attachment. But we use our intelligence and do what we're supposed to do. We do the correct thing. Though it may not be completely pure, but it's accepted as pure. Like that. This is how Krishna works. If we're sincere, when the ego is not there. That is why the humility, this trinada pisu nichena, is so essential. When you have that humility, amanina manadena, you have tolerance, you have this humility, then Krishna accepts whatever you do very nicely. But if the ego is there, then there's ignorance. That means whatever we're doing can't be proper, cannot be proper. Because if the ego is wrong, the intelligence must be wrong. Because the intelligence stems from the ego. And if that's wrong, what you think will be wrong. Because the mind is coming out of the intelligence. So we should not think that if externally I'm doing everything nicely, but I have a great false ego, very proud, we cannot think that what we're doing is correct. Then that is niyamagraha. We're attached to the rules. I'm doing the rules properly. What's your problem? But your attitude is wrong. So if the attitude is wrong, everything is wrong. Therefore, so much stress is putting on this identity. I am servant of Krishna. We just think, oh yeah, I've heard it a million times. But that's the key point. I am servant of Krishna means the false ego changes to real ego, means the intelligence starts to work properly, means the mind can become peaceful. And then we just, oh, I've heard it a million times. Let's talk about something practical, like getting your hands in the dirt and growing some carrots. Then forget devotional life. Don't worry about the nivriti varnashram that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada mentioned. Like that. Because the idea is one should endeavor for that. Doesn't mean we have that. This is the important point. When we endeavor for that, we want that. Though we're not on that platform, we get the credit for that. The Lord is very broad-minded. We have to realize that the Lord is more broad-minded than the general mass of people. The Kanista is not broad-minded. The Madhyam begins to be broad-minded. The Uttama is broad-minded. And the Lord is also broad-minded, is the most broad-minded. So, like that, we have to see. Even though we may think otherwise, that's why Krishna says in the Gita that whatever platform one's on, apichet sudaracharo, if one is situated properly, then Krishna is accepting. This is essential. We may not accept that, but that's our problem. our problem along with our false ego. But Krishna has a different opinion. If we're making that endeavor, then that is what is expected. Because the process of devotional service is so powerful, it will just drag us along. As long as we try to gain that proper attitude. And that proper attitude comes by associating with devotees and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. By hearing and chanting, then it all works very, very nicely. Is that anything else? Or? No? What do we mean by Pancharatra? That means the system of rules and regulations that are centered around deity worship, but also that control our daily activities of how we regulate the body. You know, our eating, our sleeping, all these different kinds of activities. Our chanting, our sadhana. In other words, all the rituals that we have, that is all Pancharatra. Like that. Means, you know, yeah. So, yes. The question is that if our attitude is right, though maybe our endeavor is not so perfect, is that what we're trying for? Or even the attitude's not fully right, but we're trying to develop a proper attitude. Yeah. That's what we want. That's what is meant. We find where we're situated on the devotional path, on the platform of pure surrender, on the platform of sadhana bhakti, or into Pancharatra or into Varnashram, we find how we fit. And then we try to endeavor to come to the proper attitude and to engage whatever we have without attachment in Krishna's service. So we endeavor for that. It's understood when you first start, it's not expert. Just like a child begins lessons and they just begin their ABCs. When they start writing, it's not perfect. But they're understanding, they have the right attitude, right? They are respectful to the teacher, they want to learn, they're trying to do whatever they're told. So the teacher will say, yes, very good student. But they can only write an A. And even then it's all squiggles and it has to be, you know, 1 inch big. You know? At the same time, the same teacher has a postgraduate student writing big essays, and they'll say, very good student. So they're looking at the attitude. Right? You may have a student who's in the postgraduate, doesn't apply themselves, doesn't deal properly with the teacher. The teacher will say, not a good student, but they can write A's very nicely, hundreds of times better than the child. So what makes a good student? It's not the technique, it's that sincere endeavor. So if we're trying, that's beginning, that's positive. So even though we don't have the right attitude, but we want to get the right attitude, we're endeavoring for that attitude, then that's also that's perfect. Perfect means it gives you perfection. So if you move forward on the path of perfection, that's real, it's never lost. So that's perfect. Material perfection, unless you have the whole thing, it's useless. Right? You're doing something, let's say you're cooking. Unless you finish cooking, the preparation is useless. So we apply that intelligence, that experience, in everything that we see. So that we also apply it on the devotional process. Oh, someone hasn't come to the, you know, complete Uttamadhikari. They came down out of the sky with a halo around them and the, you know, the good quality Om sign, you know, with the blue color with the gold trim that's always on the Hindu paintings. Then they're useless. Nonsense. Rascals. Pretenders. Because that's our experience. Since time immemorial, that has been our experience of what is perfection. When we attain 100%, it's perfect. But in the spiritual life, because it means to get a complete shadow, you need 100%. But even 100% of a shadow is still useless. You know, you can have a huge shadow of a mountain of gold, and you can't buy anything with it. You take just the smallest speck of gold, it has a value. So any devotional service done with the idea to please the Lord is accepted by the Lord and the honest devotees. And I emphasize the word honest as spiritual, as real. Therefore, we see things can be very, very enthusiastic, even though we are not very expert. But if we apply the spiritual concept of perfection, perfection means even the beginning stages, as long as it's done with the endeavor to come to the proper platform. Even you're not on the proper platform, you just want to. That's got value. It's not lost. It's eternal. While whatever you do in the way of mundane qualities or perfections, they're lost. They're not eternal. So we have to be very careful to not be attached to our attachments and our concepts of how, in other words, if we look through the vision of material experience and life at spiritual life, it will be tainted according to the three modes. Our devotional service will then be in passion, goodness, or ignorance. And we will figure that the whole world is like that. Atmavan manyate jagat. So we have to understand that even though we may not have that vision, we have to at least accept that. That's the meaning of Shastra Chakshus. Right? Shastra Chakshus means we see with the eyes of Scripture. We may not have the realization. But the Scriptures say birth, death, old age, disease. I look and I see, yeah, it's there. Then I realize. So this Shastra Chakshus means we have heard from authorities, we endeavor to see and understand like that. And that is perfection. Prabhupada says perfect questions, perfect answers. Right? Happened right in the hut down the road. So now we'll accept that yes, Prabhupada is the pure and alloyed devotee Nitya Siddha. So perfect answers. But Prabhupada also says perfect questions. So then that means, according to our mundane definition, Bob Cohen was a pure, unalloyed, Nitya Siddha devotee. At that time, when he happened to be sitting there with his karmi clothes on, didn't know what was happening. So according to our mundane definition of perfection, he had to, otherwise it couldn't be perfect. We call it, you know, nice questions, perfect answers. So now it's up to us. Do we want to take, endeavor for the vision and the mood and attitude of those from the spiritual realm? Or do we want to hang on to with great attachment our false egos and our experiences of the material world and apply those on everybody we see? This is our choice. And just like Prabhupada says here, there's no other path. There's no other choice. You're either looking towards Krishna and seeing with spiritual vision, even though it may be very basic, or you're looking away from Krishna and you're seeing with material vision. Doesn't matter if one's very pious and very sophisticated. Indra, if he's looking away from Krishna, he's still a mundaner. And the Kimpurushas, who are forest animals, they are looking towards Krishna, they are perfect. This is very important. One can understand this. One actually can understand devotional service, which includes Pancharatra and Varnashram. And if one can't understand this, there's no real hope except for the association of advanced devotees. But unfortunately, with that wrong vision, we can't take advantage of that advanced association. So our hope is not so great. Therefore, humility is there, that I'm not endeavoring nicely, but I'm trying to get. I have heard. Authority has told me. I try to please. In my view, it's not perfect, my endeavor. But in others' view, they see it's perfect. Right? So we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.